So how do you want to phrase it exactly?
Book poster catch up?
Multiple book catch up? I think I want to indicate that we're covering multiple books.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, it's not the cleanest title, but I'll say multiple book catch up. Here we go.
All right.
Episode 1213, The Book Poster, Multiple Book Catch Up. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono. We finally finished all of our books we've been reading.
It's crazy, listeners, but usually we give each book its own episode because we're usually taking time in between these books. But through a course of events and real life happening that maybe had us do some delays, we have three or four books to cover right now.
Well, I think we have more than that. We have Grapes of Wrath.
Okay, I got my list here.
We have...
Go Tell on the Mountain. Rabbit Run.
Rabbit Run.
And Naked Lunch.
There's a fourth in there somewhere.
That is fourth, Naked Lunch.
I thought there was five. What?
Let's review the book poster.
Okay.
Let's just intro with Naked Lunch and talk about why we're not going to be reading that. Just tell the story. So listeners, there was a book we said we're going to read, and Ben... you remember Ben? How he doesn't, he's fine with everything. And he sent me a message. Well, actually, I should just read it. Do you mind if I read it?
Yeah.
So he sent me a message saying.
You can read the whole chain of messages because it evolved as I read.
And
more.
I'll say I had this checked out from the library. I hadn't started it yet, but I was ready to start it. And Ben wrote me a message just 2 days ago. I don't know. Where to go here? I don't know if you've started Naked Lunch, but it's revolting. It's a revolting read. I'll finish it so we can do an episode, but if you prefer to skip some or all, you're welcome to not subject yourself to it. So while I look up the book poster list so we can just make sure we're not missing anything, talk about Naked Lunch and why we're skipping it.
Yeah, I think you might have it with just those four, but yeah, go through it quick.
All right.
Okay, so yes, Naked Lunch. I'm unoffendable, but this book was nauseating. I made it probably a third of the way through. I read... I know we're not uncensored, so I'll make this as PG as I possibly can. I won't get into specifics. I read a sci-fi book this year called Dahlgren by Samuel Delaney. And this book has a lot of interesting sci-fi concepts, and then it's peppered with sex scenes that are just gross. Like, I don't necessarily mean gross in the sense of immoral, though they're that too, but more gross in the sense that's just like, if you were to describe sex in a way that just makes everything about it revolting, where you just want to throw up reading it, Dahlgren did that. But yet it also actually had something vaguely resembling a novel in between there. Naked Lunch was like that, but just the gross parts. Like, it literally just felt like page after page of disconnected description. There's no plot. There's no through line to all of this.
You did send me an article to read, and the article pointed out that it was created in a way where each page could be its own short story.
Yeah.
You could read it any order.
And it's literally just disgusting sex act after disgusting sex act to the point where it was nauseating to listen to. Like, yeah, you know me.
Yeah.
I have like a 12-year-old boy's sense of humor. I was so grossed out listening to this. I was just like, I don't want to hear it anymore. And then I started, once I sent you that message, mm-hmm. I was like, but I'll finish it. And then I thought, but I could return this and get my Audible credit back.
Hey.
And I was like, I'm going to return this.
Yeah.
And get my, like, there's I nothing I'm going to be gained. Plus, I mean, the other part of it is, like, I guess, like, if you're to do a defense of it, it is written... William S. Burroughs was a drug addict of all sorts. And so it's, you know, written to kind of resemble what it's like to be on heroin, I guess, or something. But the other part that's just gross is that William S. Burroughs wrote a lot of this novel, writing to Allen Ginsberg, who was a pedophile. And William S. Burroughs, was into teenage boys. And so, like, there's this whole undercurrent with these two where it's like, yeah, I can't even get there with you and be like, I can kind of see the redeeming quality of this. I can see that he's a good writer from the sense of that if you want an experimental book, you know, it's not like he's an incompetent writer, but the entire thing's just revolting. And I don't, you know, I don't need a book that makes me want to throw up that was written in letters to a pedophile who support a NAMBLA. I got the point, and okay, I was ready to move on.
Okay, so for the first time in however many books, about 50-something books, we're skipping one.
Yeah, I subjected myself to enough of it where I feel, and I don't think you should read it.
Okay.
Like, and you know I'm not above sending you to go read disgusting things for my own entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not above that at all. I've enjoyed doing that many times. Don't read this.
Okay.
Don't read this book. I hated it. It's just a deeply unpleasant experience trying to wade through it.
Easy skip for me then. Thank you. Let's go to some that we did read.
All right.
Such as The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck.
I love this book.
5 stars for me too.
It's so good.
Why don't you start while I load up my review?
Well, I mean, I love John Steinbeck, and I love, you know, his characters and the quality of his writing. I also love this as somebody who routinely taken bad vacations.
Yes, it's true.
This does feel like the worst possible vacation. Like, you load up the car, and then some people are going to die, and you're going to have a miserable time.
You know, I just realized in the past I've mentioned not liking road novels.
Yeah.
This one didn't bother me.
Yeah.
As road novels go, I like this one.
It's great.
Is it a road novel to you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's I think it's also, these pockets of history are interesting to me because it's not that long ago. Like, this is 100 years ago.
Exactly. That struck me
crazy,
also.
Crazy. Just crazy to think that this was the world only a few generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our grandparents could have been children. And I mean, my grandparents, my paternal grandparents were older than my maternal grandparents, but they were born in like, I think my grandma was 1920 and grandpa was 1918 or 1916.
That's when they were born?
No, we don't know when my grandpa was born. There's competing dates.
Oh, that's interesting. Because
he was born off of a boat in Italy.
Okay. My grandpa was born in 1928 and my grandma was born in 1930.
Yeah. So you could see like they roughly could have been kids. That's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just wild.
Because of how different this world is.
Totally.
They're experiencing parts of America for the first time.
Like, if you think about, hey, there was medieval peasants wandering around and they all died at age 30 and life just sucked. You're like, yeah, I believe a world like that existed, and there was people who lived in caves. We called them cavemen. And like, yeah, I can, but that's way long ago. This was like people that I knew in my lifetime could have gone through this.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, it's such a great book. I think Steinbeck is a tremendous writer. I think I reread East of Eden recently. It makes me want to read more of his stuff. He's just, you know, you talk about like the great American novel. Is this it? It's one of the ones you could put out there as a contender for it.
Yeah, for me personally, really enjoyed the story, but even more so, you already touched on this, the characters. He's so good at developing characters.
Yeah.
The characters that we care about across the board. Like, we get invested in different ways. Like, maybe there's some that we're rooting for, some that we don't like, but we're still invested in the story. It's just,
yes.
Yeah, I thought the story itself was moving, and it did. You're touching on everything I felt. It just made me reflect on the history of America itself, and I mean, in how far, in some ways, and how far we've come in a short period of time, and how much is similar but just looks different.
Yeah, tremendous novel.
I said 5 stars earlier. I can see I gave it 4.5, but I have very positive feelings towards this one.
I think this would be one where you should watch the movie too.
Oh,
it's
really?
A John Ford movie. John Ford, the great Western director, starring Henry Fonda.
Okay.
It's a great movie.
Should we move on to the next book?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. The next one up as I go through the list is Go Tell on the Mountain by James Baldwin.
You know, I like this. I didn't love it. I know you loved it. So why don't you take, let's flip roles.
Yeah. Because
I feel like that's usually what you say.
Yeah,
like, I liked it, but it didn't hit me that hard, but I know you really liked it.
Yeah, 4.5 for me, so almost 5 stars. Yeah, I think when it first started, and maybe you experienced this too, I did have a little bit of a hard time getting into it, but the way it's structured is you're experiencing different people's point of view, but they're all from the same family, so it's telling one story, but you're getting different points of view of this story. So where it really kicked in for me is when there's a man who We are spoiling here, right? Is it okay to spoil? Or should we...
We can spoil.
It's okay to spoil this one? So there's kind of the father figure of the main story. I'm trying to remember exactly how it lays out. We kind of learn his about his upbringing, and he becomes a preacher. But then, in the midst of all that and trying to do good, we start to have some connections that I felt similar to Graham Greene's Heart of the Matter, where you see him fighting with his inside desires that he does not want to happen. But, spoilers, listeners, he does have an affair. And there's just some tragedy that strikes me in particular when it comes to like a father-son relationship that, I don't know, do you want to dive into some real specifics, or should we just kind of gloss over
it?
Yeah, high level wise, it's more of the lack of relationship that you could see how this character could have made better choices and maybe had, in a way, it would have saved his son's life if he had been the father he could have been, but instead he chose to watch out for himself, and that ends up pretty much haunting him for the rest of his life. But I mean, I'm right on the edges of the story. So that part in particular, and that was, even though I mentioned it's broken up into multiple points of view, I believe that chunk that I just described, that's the biggest portion, if I remember correctly, and how it all lays out. So yeah, you're just following these characters' lives and you're invested in this whole family. And I felt moved. I can see here. This doesn't happen to me often, but there was a part related to the father-son relationship where I almost felt like I was going to start crying listening to the emotion that the father was feeling.
Good book. It didn't hit me as hard as it did you, but I definitely enjoyed it, and I think it deserves to be, deserves its place as a modern classic. I'm glad I read it.
Wow, and look at this. Rabbit Run by John Updike. Another 4.5, so right across the board for the ones I read on this episode.
So I did not reread this one. I read it a few years ago.
Okay.
But it's good. I remember in, reading some John Updike short stories in my literature classes in college. This was the first novel of his I read. I have not read the rest of the Rabbit series. I think you mentioned this in your review that you don't really feel like you need to.
No,
I wouldn't be averse to, but...
In fact, I think it would have been better. Because the ending has this hint of ambiguity.
It's like the Rabbit Run cinematic universe.
Yeah. So, and you're kind of wondering, is the main character going to do the right thing? I'll come back to this thought. Let's come back to that right thing. So I'll just finish this statement. So you're wondering if he's going to do the right thing.
Does not.
But you end up, you're really just waiting for him to make the wrong choice again, which he does again and again.
Yeah.
But I wish it was more up in the air, because knowing that there's multiple books in the series sort of takes away from what happens next. I don't exactly know what happens next, but because I know there's more books, I can guess where the story is going next.
But you don't have to, you can just read a book independent. Like, the fact that an author went on and wrote more.
Yeah.
Unless it's something like Lord of the Rings, where it was really literally written as one book, you can just take this as, he wrote this book. And you can take this book as a singular piece of literature.
I remember thinking about the main character, Rabbit, is his name, Rabbit Engström, that, I'm experiencing this book and recognizing it's a good book. Of course, what the character is doing is not good, but the story itself, engaging, well-written. There's these multiple cases where you're reading the inner dialogue of this guy, and it's funny. What he's saying is funny, but when you just think about what he's saying, it's sad because of how awful he is as a human.
Yeah.
So this is a bad... The protagonist, the main character, the POV guy, he's the villain of the story. Just constantly making bad choices.
Yeah, I agree. I like it. I think John Updike, I haven't read a ton from him, but a very good writer. I prefer his style of writing, or like the Norman Mailer. Who's one of the other people we read?
Graham Greene?
No, who's the Philip Roth? I like that style of 20th century writing a lot more than I like the experimental Jack Kerouac, William S. Burroughs style of writing.
Yeah. So again, for this one, 4.5, I was struck with, this seems to come up a lot, and maybe it's you and me drawing out, or maybe even just me drawing it out, but a lot of these stories are in the top 100 novels are about a person who wants to do good, but is struggling to do good. Is that just everyone's story? I mean, like, I think why is that theme keep coming up?
It's a thematically rich concept, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's easy to come up with a complicated character. I mean, it's even, you know, the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have the famous verse of that which I want to do isn't what I do. And all this. Yeah, it's a very human theme.
Yeah, I just wonder, since it's coming up so often on this particular list, it just must be something that strongly resonates with readers across the board.
I agree.
Well, let's just do, before I hit the music, well, I'll hit the music, but
let's look ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's after the music. I want to ask you, including Naked Lunch, let's rank these four books.
Okay, I'm going to say Grapes of Wrath, number one.
Okay.
Rabbit Run.
Okay.
Go Tell It on the Mountain, and then somewhere much, much, much lower is Naked Lunch.
So I've only read three, so I won't even mention Naked Lunch, but I'm right with you. Grapes of Wrath, number one. But my number two, Go Tell on the Mountain. My number three, Rabbit Run.
I figured we'd differ on those, but all three are good.
All three are good. I get 4.5. What were your, real quick, what were your ratings?
I would give 5 stars to Grapes of Wrath. I feel like you are being a stingy so-and-so to give John Steinbeck 4.5. Just give him the 5.
All right, let me change it
just
right now.
Just give him the 5.
Look at when I started this episode, I thought I was at 5, and I was surprised by my rating. Let's change it right now. I love when I do it on the air. So, okay, 5 stars for John Steinbeck. Congratulations, John.
Then I'm probably 4.5, 5 for Rabbit Run, and right. 4.5 for Go Tell It on the Mountain.
All right, we're right on the same page here. Okay, good. So now, listeners, we're past the music. Let's talk about what's next. We have the next three books picked out again.
Okay.
You remember this? We're rewinding. I picked one, you picked one, and then we picked one together, I think.
Right.
That's how it works.
Yeah,
so first up, Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. I've never read it.
But wait, Matt, that's in the first row.
We're going backwards, listeners. We're going back.
Take that, Brian.
Our friend Brian hates it when we do this, but we're going back to line one. I've been wanting to read Pride and Prejudice because my wife loves it. So that's next. And then you picked. Go ahead for your pick.
So is this Deliverance?
I think it is. You said you have it and you want
it. I've had the audiobook for a few years waiting for us to pick it. We didn't pick it last time. So I told you we're either picking it, because this would be the next row.
Yeah, this is line 8. So should we just say what would have been on line 8 like we always do? Or should
we
skip it?
Yeah, let's do that.
So these are what we would have picked from, but we already chose. So the choices for line 8 were A House for Mr. Biswas by V.S. Naipaul.
Sounds dumb.
Next, The Golden Notebook by Doris Lessing.
Yeah, no Deliverance.
Oh, this would have been my pick from line 8.
We still could.
Pale Fire by Vladimir Nabokov. Next up, A Clockwork Orange by Anthony Burgess. Next, Wide, Sargasso Sea by Gene Reyes, and then 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, but we went with Deliverance by James Dickey. And then after that, Ben, we already have the next three, like I said. We're going back again, this time to line 2, and for the first time, I will read Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre.
I think they're all good. I mean, if you want to do Pale Fire, let me make an argument for adding Pale Fire.
Let's have that be number 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So here's the argument for including Pale Fire. You have to, I don't think it will work audio.
You told me this already.
So that one can be the one you take, you know, get it.
Yeah.
And then just read it at your own pace.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. It's
not a long book.
Ben recommended in the last week 2 books to me that must be read in book form. One is The House of Leaves by
Mark DeJujujush.
That's like, I got it right here. Daniel S. Yowski.
Yeah, he just came out with a long Western that's getting incredible reviews.
Okay, well,
so I'd be curious to read that too.
And then you recommended to me when we were at the cabin, Pale Fire.
Pale Fire's great.
So we've got those coming up, but we're starting those in 2026. So we'll take a month off. I got some personal books I want to catch up on. So don't start Pride and Prejudice until January.
All right.
That's when I'll start.
Okay.
All right, listeners. This is fun.
Good.
We're ready. So that's going to be the first half of the year for book posters. So for now, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I bet we can wrap those up by Valentine's Day. I'm Ben DeBono.
Sapphire Christian signing off.